Colin and Fernando Quevedo, and also hopefully another paper will come out soon with Fernando about getting natural inflation with detectable tensor mode, thanks to the string loops. Okay, let me give you a very quick introduction about type 2B Calabi-Yau flux quantification. So we consider low energy limit 20^(1) four-dimensional type 2B supergravity by dimensional reduction. So again, we need just to know gauge kinetic function, the superpotential and the scalar potential. Then the problem is this ubiquitous presence of moduli, which are massless unchargeded scalar particles with effective gravitational coupling that would give rise to long-range unobserved tip forces. So we have to stabilize them to develop a potential and find the minimum. So there are a bunch of these moduli, closed string moduli, like complex structure moduli related to the shape of the extra dimensions, which are called U moduli. The extra dilaton, which sets the string coupling, which are called S. And then scalar moduli related to the size of the extra dimensions, which are called T moduli. Then also a bunch of open string moduli. Then what one usually does is to turn on background three-form fluxes. They develop a three-level superpotential, and then you can stabilize the U and S moduli supersymmetrically. Then due to the no-scale structure, the cancellation that takes place in the scalar potential, there is a flat potential for the T moduli three-level. So these are still unfixed, and one has to study perturbative versus non-perturbative correction. And that is why it's very complicated, because one never knows if it is consistent or not in keeping only some terms and neglecting others. Okay, so that's the general situation. Right, so we have a three-level scalar potential, a perturbative bit and the non-perturbative bit, which I neglect since I already considered the perturbative bit. This perturbative bit, they are the alpha prime expansion, the g-string expansion. So these loop corrections were originally neglected in the large volume scenario, at least in the original treatment. And whereas the alpha prime corrections, we can expand the log. So we have this minus 2 log of the volume. This is a three-level scalar potential. Then we have this 1 over the volume. This is the leading order alpha prime correction. So keep in mind that this size, this will be important later on in the talk, is related to the Euler number of the Calabi-Yau. So H11 is the number of scalar moduli, and H12 is the number of complex structure moduli. Then we have the usual non-perturbative correction coming from this thing. So neglecting this loop correction at this point, so consider just a non-perturbative alpha prime correction, this is the general scalar potential that we have to minimize. Right. So we can fix this T moduli in a natural way, setting W0 is the three-level superpotential once we have integrated out both the S and the U moduli. Then we take this direction, the volume is exponential of some small moduli. Then we can see that the alpha prime and non-perturbative corrections compete naturally to give an exponentially large volume ADS minimum that breaks supersymmetry. That we need the usual to uplift to the seat. There are several ways to do that. And the symmetrization is the one that Fernando described during his talk. And this is a particular kind of Calabi-Yau with two scalar moduli. We have tau 5, which is the large one, tau 4, which is the small one. These are volumes of four cycles, so the real part of this T moduli. So tau 4 is stabilized small, and the volume is the exponential tau 4, so that is large. Then people knew that it was possible to generalize this with Wisch's Calabi-Yau. These are a bunch of examples, for example, with three scalar moduli. That's the form of the volume. So tau 1 is the only large cycle, which is, in a certain sense, controlling the overall size of the cheese. And then we have these, a bunch of tau I small cycles, which are like holes in the cheese, the volume of these holes in the cheese. One can see these alpha prime corrections, and then no perturbative corrections. That's the potential where one can see that there is this exponential large volume. Okay, then typically one sets the volume 10 to the 15 in string units, and that enables us to get the correct gravitino mass, 30 TeV. Also, the soft terms are in the correct TeV range. The string scale is intermediate, 10 to the 11 GeV. And then one gets the small scalar moduli, the holes in the cheese, which are pretty heavy, 10 to the 3 TeV. The volume modulus on the contour is pretty light, 1 MeV. So note that we get no flavor change in intercurrent, contrary to what Seiberg said. There is gravity mediation with no flavor change in intercurrent. Then we get a robust effective field theory because the volume is large, so we can integrate out massive string modes. And also, you remember the alpha prime expansion was an expansion inverse power of the volume. So if we have the volume which is large, we can be safe keeping just the first term. Then we can generate hierarchies, not only the weak one, but also the axionic and the notinous case, which come out as different powers of the volume. Right, but there are still some open questions. So there is no general analysis. What happens for an arbitrary Calabi-Yau? Then there is no inclusion of loop corrections for an arbitrary Calabi-Yau in general, except for the Swiss cheese. In that case, they were worked out by Berg and Pyre, and they have seen that they are subleading. And also, as also Misra talked yesterday about that. And then there is a tension between moduli stabilization and chirality. I'll tell you later on what this means. And then Fernando and Joe also worked out for the Swiss cheese case inflation, but then in that case, the flattening is spoiled by loop correction, so this is an issue. And also there were no detectable tensor modes. So during this talk, I'll try to answer the first three questions, and I refer you to Fernando's talk for the last one. So here I will present a large volume claim, so a sort of theorem that neglecting the loop correction at this point tells you what are the topological conditions on an arbitrary club out to get large volume. And then I'll try to say something about the general structure of string loop correction in 2-bit supergravity. And then I'll include them in the large volume claim, and I'll show that you can also solve this tension between modular stabilization and chirality, and I'll use this particular example. And then in this case, for example, for the K3 vibration club, as was the example that Fernando was mentioning, you can get natural inflation with detectable tensor modes, and thanks to these string loop corrections. For example, we did this calculation last week, we're finding that R is 0.01, the spectral index in the correct regime, and the volume is 10 to the second. Okay. Right, so this is the large volume claim. So let X be an arbitrary Clavier, then we have to take the large volume limit in this way. We think some of these Kähler moduli are small, and the other ones are sent large, so that the volume is large. Then the form of KAW neglecting loop correction at this point is the usual one. So this is a constant bit coming from integrating out the complex structure and the Dilton. Alpha prime corrections, and then non-perturbative correction in all the small guys. And then there is an ADS non-supersymmetric minimum located in this region, the volume is exponential of all the small cycles, if and only if, so these are both sufficient and necessary conditions. So H12 is greater than H11 greater than 1, so we are more complex structure moduli than Kähler moduli, so the sign of these alpha prime corrections here, xi, is positive. Then tau j is a block mode resolving a point-like singularity for each of these small moduli. This is very interesting because then we have that the non-perturbative superpotential is guaranteed, since this cycle is rigid, so we are safe in this case. And I won't tell you about the proof because it's 40 pages, so I skip it. But this is sort of summary. So we have these n small block modes, which are fixed by non-perturbative effects, and the volume by alpha prime correction plus W non-perturbative. And then at this point, there are still all the other moduli, which are H11 minus n small minus 1, which are sent large, like vibration moduli are some examples. And so the non-perturbative correction is switched off. So at this point, all the other directions are flat. And then our conjecture is that usually they are lifted by loop corrections. And then these particles will be lighter than the volume. I think this is very sensible because, I mean, the volume has already been fixed. So the space is compact. And that means that these moduli cannot run to infinity. And so the leading order corrections, which are in this case the loops, should stabilize them. OK, so let me say something about this loop correction. There is an explicit calculation known only for the unfluxed toroidal antifold, in this case the torus, T6 or Z2 plus T2, by Berger and Kors. There are two kinds of corrections, Kaluza-Klein and winding corrections. So that's the form of the Kaluza-Klein corrections, where so these are open string, one loop processes that then you can interpret as closed string, three-level processes. And in this case, it turns out that this is interpretable as due to the exchange of closed strings carrying Kaluza-Klein momentum between the seven brains and the three brains, where this tau I is the volume of the four cycle wrapped by these different brains. The other case, the winding correction is due to the exchange of three-level closed strings, winding strings, so between intersecting stacks of the seven brains. And that was canceled from the calculation. And in this case, both, so we have the tau j and tau k are the volumes of the two four cycles wrapped by these different brains. So note that there's a very complicated dependence on the U moduli. These are complicated sums of non-holomorphic Einstein series. But in reality, we are not interested in these guys because they are already being stabilized at three level. Whereas there is a very simple dependence on the T moduli. And that's very good for us because we are focusing on them. OK, how do we generalize this for an arbitrary Clavier? OK, the point is that so these are one loop corrections to the Kähler potential. And when we take the second derivative, we go to the kinetic terms. So these are one loop corrections to the kinetic terms. And we evaluate them computing the two-point function. So this is, for example, for U modulus, and this is done in the string plane. This will be generic function of U, T, and S. Then we will have to go to the Einstein plane that enters the supergravity Lagrangian. So there will always be this factor coming from the Wiley scaling, 1 over the volume. So this correction will always be volume suppressed. And then our guess is that, so G in reality goes like mk to the minus 2, and in the other case, m winding to the minus 2. This is very sensible because this is interpretable as the three-level propagation of the Kaluza tangle. And in fact, for this case, for the T6, we can see this. We can rewrite things and see that this conjecture is sensible. So the volume It's very simple in this case. These are the two cycle moduli. Right? Then this is in terms of the four cycle moduli. Right? So we can rewrite tau 1 in the end is just the volume over T1. And at this correction, you remember it was 1 over tau. So we are interested only in the dependence on tau. So 1 over tau, we can rewrite this as T1 over the volume. And T1 is exactly MKK2 minus 2. And that's the same for the winding corrections. So that's the conjecture for an arbitrary Calabi-Yau, just MKK2 minus 2 over the volume. And the other case, M winding to minus 2 over the volume, which can be written in that way, where so in this case, the tau I, so, OK. In the first case, this tau I is a two cycle, which is transferred to the four cycle wrapped by the brain. Whereas in the other case, is you remember this was coming up from the intersection of two stacks of the seven brains, and this is the two cycle where they intersect. Okay, then we said, well, let's try also to give a low energy interpretation of this result to check if this conjecture is correct. This is a very simple argument, and which goes as follows. Okay, so for the brain, we have this DBI action that contains a term like tau f mu f mu. Then you expand tau, and from the first term, you read off the coupling on that brain, which is so g squared on the brain is 1 over tau. And then you get this coupling that will renormalize the kinetic term for tau. Right. Then, so you know that the three level will give you the kinetic terms that will be corrected by this delta KKK. Then you can say, well, let's make an analogy with stupid analogy with charged scalar fields. So in that case, you have that the one loop renormalization goes like g squared. So in a certain sense, you have that the correction is g squared times 1, so times the 3 level. So you can write something. So this correction will be so the 3 level bit times g squared, so times 1 over tau in this case. So the only thing that you do, you have the 3 level kerometric, take the second derivatives, multiply by 1 over tau, then integrate back twice and supply these corrections. We check this in several Calabi-Yaus and it works. I mean, there is a perfect matching with the conjecture. Let me show you the usual example. So in that case, the conjecture gives you this result. So one correction is tau 4, square root of tau 4 over the volume, and the other one is 1 over tau 5. And note that at this point, the loops are reading with respect to the alpha prime correction, because this goes like one, so this goes like square root of tau 4 over the volume, whereas the alpha prime correction will go like just like 1 over the volume. So this is worrisome at this point, because this could destroy all of the previous claim. OK, let's see the low energy interpretation. So take the second derivative, 1 over square root of 4 times the volume, and the other case, 1 over tau 5 squared. Then multiply, in this case, 1 over tau 4, in this case, 1 over tau 5. Then integrate back twice, and it's clear that you get this dependence. OK. But then, so this was done all at the level of the scalar potential. Then you have to go to the level of the scalar potential. And we found something very, very nice, and which is the following. So for an arbitrary Calabi-Yau, it turns out that if and only if the loop corrections is an homogeneous function in the two cycles volumes of degree minus 2, then at reading order, you get a cancellation. So this is, we call this extending no-scale structure. So we don't have just no-scale structure at three level, but also leading order one loop. And to get this, very simply, now we have to expand k to the minus 1, so the k to minus 1 that you have in the scalar potential, because now it is the corrected k. And so you will have an expansion in the scalar potential. This is the three level, which is 0, to the no-scale structure. That's the bit that we say that is also as a coefficient, which is 0. And then dv2 will be the first non-vanishing contribution. And note that this is not, in some sense, a loop expansion, but this is, I mean, this is not two loops. It's just the expansion coming from one. OK, and then one use homogeneity. For example, one can find that this dv1 goes in this way. So this n is the degree of these homogeneous functions. Then you see that when n is minus 2 to 0. And in fact, considering the form of this correction, the kk correction, n was exactly minus 2. So we have the cancellation. For the winding, was minus 4. So the leading order Kaluza-Klein correction is vanishing, whereas the leading order winding correction, this is also nice, because this is related to the correction of the Kähler potential. So you read the correction of the Kähler potential, and then without going through all this machinery, you immediately find the correction of the Kähler potential. And so now the loop corrections due to this cancellation are subleading with respect to the alpha prime in V. So they don't destroy the minimum. That's very important. But we'll see that they are crucial to stabilize the standard model cycle or lift these flat directions. OK, then, well, let me get back. So if this is 0, then we have to find the form of this first non-vanishing contribution. Okay, this is a complicated formula, but at the end, homogeneity allows us to simplify it this way. It's also extremely nice because we have this Kaluza-Klein corrections due to the homogeneity are related to the second derivatives of the three-level Kähler potential. Now, everything is in terms of, in practice, the three-level Kira potential, and in practice, the one-loop correction, the Kira potential, the winding ones. All right. So then we said, well, why do we get these cancellations? So we have this expansion, which then take this form. So first derivative of K, second derivative, and third derivative, and so on. And the first term is zero. So then we said, what's the physical explanation for this? And then we found that, well, the explanation is supersymmetry, because we said, well, at the end, you just end up in an n=1 four-dimensional theory, where these loop corrections are computed via the Colevan-Weinberg potential. And then we have seen that for, in practice, several Calabi-Yau examples, the Colevan-Weinberg matches exactly with this expansion. That's also nice. Oh, yes. That's also, notice that we don't know anything about this function, but since this is squared, we know the sign of this correction. That's important for the modified stabilization. Okay, this is the field theory interpretation. That's the usual Colevan-Weinberg bit. And we know that in the Colevan-Weinberg, also the first term is cut off to the fourth. There is a supertrace from zero, which is zero due to the supersymmetry. And so this is the physical explanation for the extended no-space structure. Let us see this in the simplest possible example, the dumbest one, with just one Kira modulus. So considering R string calculation, so we get just so focus on the powers of the volume, H3, 10 over 3, and 4 is what we get. And this is the extended no-space structure. Then we try to evaluate this. We try to evaluate the Colevan-Weinberg. So there's the cutoff, which is MKK, that's sensible. And MKK turns out to be 1 over the volume 2/3. Then we have here the supertrace of M squared, which is the gravitino mass. And the gravitino goes like gravitino mass squared, 1 over the volume squared. Then we plug all these numbers here, and we find exactly the same powers as before. It's a perfect matching. And so supersymmetry is the explanation. And then we check that for other kind of Calabi-Yau, 11169, 11226, and it works for this. Okay, then we have to include this in the in our general picture. So they are subleading with respect to alpha prime and non-perturbative, so they do not destroy the exponential large volume minimum, but they can stabilize this non-block moduli, this plot direction large. And also this issue with chirality, let me explain you. They can fix the standard model cycle. Because, so as Blumenhagen and collaborators noticed, this cycle, so the cycle which is supporting the standard model, cannot get any non-perturbative correction. Because of the fact, very simply, that you will have a prefactor that depends on standard model fields, and since you don't want to break the gauge symmetry at this point, this has to be zero. Yes, thank you. Okay. So, but then, so this is our picture. So this is the old Calabi-Yau, and since g squared goes like 1/1000 mu, so then that means that we have to wrap the standard model cycle. So we need to wrap the standard model on a smooth cycle, because if we wrap it on a large cycle, it is extremely smooth. And so we wrap it on a smooth cycle. But then, as I told you before, this cannot get any non-perturbative corrections. But we need these non-perturbative corrections according to the claim to stabilize the standard model. So how do we fix it? That's the problem. Well, use loop corrections. And then, okay, this is an example. This is one of these Swiss cheese examples. So in this case, we have three moduli, the volume tau E3 and tau standard model. The tau standard model is the one where we put the standard model, small cycle. Tau E3 is also another small cycle which gets non-perturbative correction. In this case, are Euclidean D3 breaking instances. So you see that you have this negative exponential in E3 and also the other in E3. These are all non-perturbative corrections. And these are the alpha prime corrections. So neglect, so just don't consider this bit for a second. And these are the loop corrections. So without them, you get that the volume goes like the exponential of tau 3. But then when you look at the standard model direction, this is tau standard model, you get a tachyonic direction, something like that. But then when you add the loop correction, you find a minimum here. So simply the physics is something like, you see that they go like 1/tau. So when you try to shrink, in a certain sense, this cycle, then these loop corrections become important. They repel it from shrinking, and then they stabilize the cycle. So that is the other example. So the flat direction lifted by loops. K3 fibration, Calabi-Yau, is an example, with 2 Kira moduli is the volume. So in this case, there is no block mode, so there is no large volume, according to the general claim. And in fact, you can check this explicitly. This is the form of large volume into the scalar potential. You have just 1/3 with a dependence on tau 1. Tau 1 is a small cycle. And you see that in this case, the minimization will give you a minimum of tau 1 of the order 1, which is not where we can trust our approximations. But then you say, well, let me add a blow up. So then I have a K3 fibration with 3 Kira moduli. The volume is the same as before, and I add a blow up. OK, then I take the large volume limit, sending both tau 1 and tau 2 large. Tau 3 is small. So now tau 3 is a block, we get large volume. But since we have 2 large cycles, now one is the overall volume. and that is stabilized, and the other one is flat. So you can appreciate this better after this field definition. So from tau 1, tau 2, you go to the volume and omega. So the volume is just the volume as before, but neglecting tau 3, since this is small. OK, the other one is just the orthogonal mode. At this point, the scalar potential without loop correction takes this form. And you see that it depends only on tau 3 and the volume, no dependence on omega. That, in fact, this is the flat direction, this sofa potential for omega. And the volume is the exponential tau 3. But then consider loop corrections. And you can say, OK, let me try to wrap these 7 brains around all the possible cycles. Then the KK, the closed kind correction tau 3, turn out to have this form. So they do not depend on omega. So they don't generate any potential for omega, are subleading with respect to the other corrections, they are negligible. Then we added this fourth cycle, tau 3, is a block mode. So that means that this is a local effect. So it does not, yes, I'm done. Does not in intersect with the other four cycles. And so you will have no winding correction. So the only relevant loop correction will be the KK correction in tau 1, KK correction in tau 2, and the winding corrections relate to the intersection of the tau 1 and tau 2 cycle. They take this form. And we can control the sign of A and D due to the extended node space structure, as I said before, whereas we don't have any control on the sign of the C. But then setting these very naturally, then we find a minimum. This is the potential developed for omega once we make the field definition. And also the minimum lies within the Keller cone. So in practice, we have, for example, when omega is the volume, that means that one of these two cycles shrinks to zero, and also in the other case, so the minimum is correctly in between. And yes, and then Fernando was speaking about the possibility to use this direction as the impoton. So setting, in this case, both the volume and tau 3 to the minimum, and then using this omega to roll down. It seems to be very, seems to give eta naturally very small and detectable tensor mode. That's very nice. OK, conclusion. So non-perturbative effects fix only blow up Keeler moduli. Then alpha prime effects plus W non-perturbative fix the volume exponential large. All the other Keeler moduli are flat directions. Then loop corrections to K are leading with respect to the alpha prime corrections, but then at the level of the Keeler potential. But then when you go to the scalar potential, they are subleading due to the extended node space structure that is very robust for our scenarios. Then the column boundary potential gives a nice physical understanding of this cancellation, which is supersymmetric. And then the loop correction are needed to fix the rest of the Keeler moduli. And they are crucial to extend the large volume scenarios to vibration cavity out, fix the standard model cycle, and probably get this natural inflation with detectable tensor modes. And yes, also Fernando spoke about the possibility that then this particle can form dark matter, then they can decay to gamma-gamma, and having these monochromatic lines coming from the center of our galaxy. This is a possible prediction, but still question mark. So I guess now we need to compute explicitly this string correction for an arbitrary Calabi-Yau because it could turn out to be very important. OK, thank you. After question.
Yes. Well, actually, I had a fair look at ask half from the first, which is that you have a conjecture for more than one loop corrections for delta k.
Yes. Yes, we do. Well, because you could use the same tree in a certain sense, but still, I won't trust that a lot. But let me get back.
And the reason I'm asking is because it was there in one version of the paper. That it
Yes. That's true. But then we remove it. Then we remove it.
Yeah.
What was this?
This.
Yes. Okay. So you see that we said okay, the one loop correction. It was like g squared times the three lambda. Then you could try to conjecture to say that two loop is g squared times one loop. That is what we thought, but I mean, we don't need that. Well, definitely we'd be surprised by one over a thousand, something like that, one of the small cycles. So if you always stabilize them pretty large, then you're fine.
OK, that's time for me to do that again.